Okay, so then they sprayed you with the water hose, the water knocked you down, and then
sitting down, right?
And would you sit up before they put the water on after?
They advanced the truck,
mm-hmm.
started throwing water, so I got up. It pushed me away. I got up. I said, what's happening? My arms went down. They just charged on me and everybody else who was there without any reason.
Okay.
We were sitting and singing songs of peace.
By Sunday evening, although tear gas was still blowing in the air, the wall had been opened. The standoff was over at the wall of shame that had separated citizens from the heads of state, and attention turned to the hundreds of people who had been arrested. Sasha Meinrath traveled to the prison where FTAA protesters were being held, and he found a support network that included activists who were willing to camp out until everyone had been released, free food, and two RVs for the legal support teams. Every few minutes, another protester would be released from the prison and go to the RV to be debriefed. Sasha sat in on one of the interviews, and then he spoke with the lawyer.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I'm sure it's not a pleasureful time, but what you were doing was important for all of us. It was right to stand up for your rights.
I had to do it.
Why do you say you had to do it?
Because I wasn't treated right. I'm allowed to manifest. Right. I'm allowed to say what I think. They just can't stop me from saying what I want to say. That's not democracy.
Good. My name is Connie Fogel. I'm a lawyer from Vancouver, and I'm with a group called the Defense of Canadian Liberty Committee. We have a lawsuit in process right now that has to do with the violation of the citizens' rights here at the Summit of the Americas. So what I'm here doing now tonight is gathering evidence that we can use in our lawsuit. Besides the one where there's the appeal, we've got another one going in the federal court, and we're basically suing the federal government and asking for compensation for damages with respect to every citizen's rights that was violated.
Could you list some of the violations that you're documenting?
Well, yes. First and foremost, the violation of our rights is that citizens have a right to assemble, have a right to gather, to stand, and they have a right to speak and to say what they think about issues that affect them. And that means not just that we can gather any place, but it means that we have a right to be seen and be heard by the very people that whose opinions, whose procedures we don't want and don't like. In other words, we have the right to be seen and be heard by the 34 heads of state and by their officials and their technocrats. And this whole process, keeping us away from them, is illegal under our Constitution. We have a right. Those are fundamental core rights of freedom and of justice and of liberty. The kinds of specific incidents that are being documented, they're really as gross as you could find anywhere in any place in the world, where we as Canadians are so horrified by the things that happen someplace else, and they're happening here. I've documented evidence of a young woman who was acting as a medic on the scene to assist people who were sprayed, and so their eyes were affected by the tear gas, and she'd be there helping them to wash out their eyes, and she's simply there as a medic to assist people. She was present when the people were gassed, and then the gas came down again a second time to them, where they were right there assisting the people, and everybody started to run, to move away from the place, to get away from the police, to get away from the tear gas, and the police followed them, and the police shot them with bullets, shot them in the back. That I have documented evidence of that. I have evidence of people sitting peacefully protesting with their fingers up in a V, and just simply being there singing, and the police shooting them with water cannons. They were not trying to bring down the fence. That's another whole issue as to whether or not they had a right to do that. They were simply there saying, interestingly, a lot of the protesters would even try to talk to the police. One man told me about how he was sweat up at the fence and just said to him, "Why are you doing this to us? Don't you know that this will be your children? It's your children's future. The ozone's going to be destroyed for your children, and you should be out here on our side." And a police officer threw a canister of tear gas right at him and hit him in the chest. So there are those kinds of examples and many others I documented from a man who was a citizen standing far back and was simply observing and wanting to be there as present to say, here I am, I don't like what you're doing and I want you, my government, to know that. And tear gas was lobbed in his direction and a heavy amount of it hit right where he was and he had to fall on the ground and he said he actually thought he was going to die. And he's a person who's a university professor at University of Montreal and he's very angry.
And is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners in America?
I want people to have hope. I want people not to feel that there's nothing we can do. We do, the laws we're dealing with exist right now. And the problem is the system is not applying those laws to protect us. The system is going along with a new regime which is creating another set of laws which is only to protect the international investor. And the purpose of that new regime is to eliminate all the protective laws for democracy. But it hasn't all been eliminated yet. It's true that the application of our laws has not been applied, has not been happening for us, but it is still here. And so we're saying as a group and with our lawyers, we want that law. The rule of law says it's the same law for everybody, and that's what's supposed to be, that is the law in Canada. And I believe that there's still time to apply our law and to reassert democracy.